then you accept them. Those a'mal, those deeds, they take a person away from the rahmah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had mentioned yesterday, the light of the Quranic verse is those people that remain upon kufr and pass away, and upon them is the curse of Allah, the curse of the farishtas and angels, and the curse of the people. Similarly, the light of this verse of the Holy Quran, la la'antullahi ala al-kadibin, we find Allah ta'ala mentions that, behold, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon those people that speak lies. Kizb and kadib means lies and falsehoods. Those people that speak lies, they become deserving of the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the curse of Allah means al-ib'ad min rahmatillah. They are distanced away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So lying is not a trait and a good characteristic. In fact, which they call it lying. An iman, lying in a Muslim. A Muslim is not a person that lies and will speak falsehood. Some riwayas mention a person speaks falsehood till he is written, yuktubu inda Allahi kazzaba. He is written and recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a person that is full of falsehood and full of lies. Some riwayas we understand when a person speaks lies, then that stench and that bad smell that comes out of his mouth is so intense that the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distance themselves and go far away from the person who speaks lies. And obviously a person who speaks lies, what honor, integrity and respect can he have in the community? So this is also something that is detestable and abhorred in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the person speaks lies, and this takes him away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, in the light of the hadith we find that that person that innovates anything in deen and comes out with a bid'ah, then upon him or he gives refuge and safety and security and support to that person that is a bid'ah, that is a mubtadi' and a muhdith, then upon him also is the curse of Allah, the curse of the angels and the curse of mankind and humanity. Now actually bid'ah is something people don't really understand. Bid'ah is something that a person innovates in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he regards that to be part of the deen of Allah. It is a very dangerous sin, because when a person regards something as part of deen, then where in the earth will he ever ask for forgiveness or repent for something that he regards as good and regards as very as worthy of respect and carrying out? So bid'ah is something that a person should be very careful about, and that is why you need the guidance of the ulama, the guidance of the learned people at all times in our deen, so we don't start creating bid'ah in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reminds me, even in general matters of our lives, and especially those matters that pertain to masajid or trusteeship, etc., you should have the guidance of the learned people so that you don't make errors. Today we find there's a general confusion. People say, when they are corrected, but I am very sincere in doing this. I am very sincere in doing this. Sincerity is one requirement, and the other requirement is the methodology of doing something. A person very sincerely puts the petrol in the radiator and the water in the petrol tank. He's very sincere about doing that. But what will happen? The car will move. Why? Because the methodology, the method and the procedure is adopted is not in keeping with what it's supposed to be, even though the sincerity is there. So together with sincerity, obviously sincerity is the underlining quality of every action. For the acceptance of every action, a person has to be sincere and should be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together with that, we should know our deen as well. We should learn our deen. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he makes dua after building the Kaaba Sharif, he says, Arena manasikana. Arena manasikana wa tub alayna. Oh Allah, teach us the manners or the ritual of Hajj. Teach us the ritual of Hajj. Thereafter he says, wa tub alayna. After you teaching it to us and we're carrying it out, definitely there will be some shortfalls, won't be complete and perfect. Thereafter he says, ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must make that initiative to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and learning will come by asking. Learning will come by asking and inquiring. You go anytime to a learned person, ask him inshallah, he will teach you the deen. If he does not know, he'll ask somebody and let you know. That is why the Quran also says, فَسَأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That ask the people of zikr. The commentators say what is meant by people of zikr, the ulama kiram. Ask the ulama kiram, إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you do not know anything, come forward and ask them, so that you will know your deen and you will be able to practice your deen. It reminds me about when Alim from India Ajit Bas passed away recently. He was very meticulous about his life and about the Sharia of Islam, about Azan, about Iqamat, etc. He was known as the Muhiyyus Sunnah. Wherever he used to go, he used to ensure that everything is done according to the Sunnah method of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He mentions the detriment and the bad consequences and the harm of not asking the ulama kiram. He says, I went into one masjid, like I've come here, I asked, how long is this masjid here? I was told, Alhamdulillah, 25 years this masjid is here and is erected 25 years ago. So like that, he went into one masjid and he asked them how long the masjid is here. They told him so many years. Thereafter, he happened to frequent or go to the toilet. And he noticed that the toilet was facing towards the Baytullah. And according to our Mazhab, the Ahnaf, under any circumstances, it's not permissible for a person to sit in the toilet and face the Baytullah either from the front or either from the back. So there's a difference in the opinion of some Mazahib. Some of them say this is only supposed to be done in the open area, when there's a closed area or a building, and the proofs are there in the Ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, according to our Mazhab, this is not proper. According to the Ahnaf, it's makruh tahrimi, which is just next to haram and completely forbidden. So this person went up to the trustees there and he called them and asked them, how long is the masjid constructed? They told him certain amount of years. How many people frequent the masjid? They told him so many people. How many people in your estimation frequent the toilet? They told him certain percentage. He worked it out and very meticulously and told them that so many thousands of people have frequented that place, and the sin of that is it's on the shoulders of you trustees, the people who undertook the builder's masjid. And the oversight was, you did not consult the people that know the Sharia and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you undertook this task. It was so simple for you to do. And this is the fact that all of us know. If we have some problem with our health, then we'll go to a general practitioner. If he cannot do anything, he'll refer us to a specialist. If he cannot do something, they'll refer us to a professor. And we'll ensure that we take that route because this is the right way to go in order to regards to our health. When it comes to anything else, for example, want to build a house, our country, you may first go to an architect, or then you will go to the engineers, and then you will go to the specialists in the field, and they will guide you. Similarly, in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we are supposed to do. Each one of us is not a mufti, we have not studied. Those people that have dedicated their lives for this knowledge, go up to them and ask them. And this is the sawaru.
Innama shifa'ul ayyi.
Innama shifa'ul ayyi as-sawar. Otherwise, this is a cure for those people that do not know the knowledge. The cure for them, or the key for them, is to go and ask. So here we find in this hadith that those people that innovate things, that invent things in the religion, and they feel, like we say, in my mentality, in my understanding, this is very good. But it is not part of Sharia. Then here also the lanat of Allah, the lanat of the angels, and the lanat of the people are upon them. And this is such a grievous sin. A person steals. A person, Allah Pak save us, fornicates, or he does something wrong, fraudulent transactions in the marketplace, he knows, he acknowledges that it is wrong, it is not permissible, due to my weakness I am doing it. But a person who innovates something in deen, he regards it as part and parcel of deen, and he will never ask for forgiveness for that. That is why it is mentioned, كُلَّ بِدَعْتٍ dalara wa كُلَّ dalaratin فِي النَّارِ. Every bid'at in innovation is something that will lead you astray. And everything that is of dalara and leads you astray will lead to the fire of Jahannam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us also from bid'at in deen, save us from lying, etc. It will draw the curse of Allah, that is, distance is away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.